Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey guys, Mackenzie Fain here with AfterBuzz TV. We are covering episode 4 of Spinning Out, the Netflix original All Ice Skating and Everything Cold. We have a special guest with us, Mitchell Edwards, here once again for episode 4. Stick with us.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
We're back, you guys. Thank you so much for joining us. We have season 1, episode 4, like I said, Keep Pinecrest Wild. Thank you so much again, Mitchell, for joining us.
Yes.
Marcus, he plays Marcus on this show, Spinning Out, which we all love. Now let me introduce my lovely panel up here. I have Evan A. all the way over there.
Hello.
Evan A. Chapman. You guys can catch her on Dare Me here at AfterBuzz, Siesta Keys. Emily May, who covers NXT, Women's Wrestling Weekly, and the Dracula After Show, covering
busy,
it all.
Busy week.
So much. And then the lovely right next to me, Lauren Mayo, AfterBuzz Red Carpets. So yes. Great, you guys. All right, well, if you guys didn't see episode 3 that we just covered with Marcus, we talked a little bit about him and, you know, asked him a bunch of questions in the beginning of the episode. So if you want to hear more about that, definitely check that episode out. We're going to jump right into this episode because I think Marcus has some great insight when we talk about pretty much everything that goes on in this episode. So let's jump right in. Now, Marcus, tell me your overall thoughts of this Keep Pinecrest Wild episode.
Oh, that was a fun one. Keep Pinecrest Wild, it was the festival, right?
Yep.
This was the episode where we learned a lot about Carol, the character played by January Jones, the lovely, lovely January Jones. And my takeaway from this episode, if I had to put it in one word, was connection. I felt like the episode kind of centered around connecting and how Kat struggles with connecting with people, whether it be because of her disorder or whatever else. Then you see the connection that brews between Kat and Marcus a little bit more. And also, Justin finally puts his foot down, like, look, you're not connecting with me. So they call Kat out, and we see how she's struggling with connecting with the people in her life.
Was there, not to jump a little bit, but to jump a little bit, what episode out of all 10 was your favorite?
To shoot or to watch?
Both. Answer Ooh. Both.
Ah.
Without giving too much away.
Don't give anything away, but if it's 10, it's 10, you know? Like.
Yeah.
This one was fun. This one was a lot of fun because we had the skiing scene in this episode. The Keep Pinecrest Wild Fest was also fun to shoot. I enjoyed this one. The director on here was Matt Hastings. He was my favorite to work with. So that was a good one.
So nice.
Yeah. To watch my favorite, I would say episode 1. I was excited to see it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah.
Well, I know I said this to you before we started, but episode 1, when we're first introduced to you, Marcus, I was like, we all thought it too. We're like, oh. Connection right there.
Right.
What a little
it was cutie. Kind of like flirty a little bit already when they kind of meet, you know, they interact.
There was definitely chemistry right off the bat, which is, you know, sometimes it doesn't always like translate on screen, but you guys definitely have
oh
it.
Oh my God, yeah.
That's
totally.
My girl, Kai. She's dope.
I love it. And you did say how great the cast was and you guys just all got along, which is so good to hear. I mean, in a show like this, that's, you know, what you want to hear.
I mean, when you're dealing with like such heavy, heavy topics. Subjects and topics, it's nice to like kind of have that camaraderie on set.
Definitely.
So we have the fundraiser in the beginning and then we have this whole Carol and Kat freak out, right? What are your thoughts on that? Because Kat is skating and she sees her mom in the audience and she just can't handle it. Mm. Goes up to her and they have this conversation. Mm. So who wants to
I mean, I think it goes back to, again, Kat's like negative voices in her head.
Yeah.
So it's not only like Carol's not only in her head, but then now she's like physically always at the always at the rink.
Yeah.
The rink. So I think it's just like issues that she's not dealing with piling on, and it's causing trouble, and she can't, that's why she's like not connecting with Justin.
Yeah.
I was excited to see Kat go up and say something to Carol because, like you said, she's kind of like the negative voices in her head personified. Mm-hmm. So it was nice to see her to go up and say something, even though she still kind of walked away feeling a little broken. But it was a step in the right direction.
I was a bit torn. You know, I felt for both characters when I saw that scene. Obviously, Kat struggling with her voice in her head, or Carol being in her head, and I thought it was cool to see her take up for herself. But I also felt for Carol when she said, you never let me watch you ski.
Mm-hmm.
Which to me, it felt like when I saw her watching her ski defiantly somewhat, or, you know, in the beginning of that scene, I thought good for Carol for being like, look, I'm going to be here for you whether you want me to be here or not.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the lead way from the flashback, knowing that Carol has some resentment toward Kat. I don't know. I kind of felt for both characters. I was like, dang, she wants to be there. She doesn't want her there. Who's right? Who's wrong?
That's so true.
Yeah, I mean, it's about Kat, like, trying to, like, open up. Like, Kat has to open up for her mom to be let in a little bit, but again, she's been hurt before.
Yeah.
So she's...
Well, Carol does a lot of hurting.
Yeah.
Because even in that same scene, she's like, you're a lone wolf.
And yeah.
Why'd you have to call her name? Right.
Well, and she also says, I don't really think you're a pair skater. Right. Like, that's literally what I'm doing, Mom K thing.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I just kind of feel like maybe, like, was she actually there with, like, good intention, or was she waiting for Serena to, like, come
I think that she just, skate? I think to both of, I guess, everyone's point, I think she wants to be there, but I think she doesn't know how to be.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
So
I don't know if you guys had the same reaction to Carol, the character, but like I always felt like she was spiteful in reaction to like a loss or something. So like even the episode, I think it was episode 2 when she's chasing after Kat and she's like trying to get Kat to come back home and Kat's like, I'll never be like you. And then Carol says to her, all I see is wasted potential now.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like she always has a clap back, but she never leads with it unless she's off the lithium.
Yeah.
She's wild. Even in that scene, she didn't come with that. She was just sitting there.
Yeah.
And then she got attacked and it was like, ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
She always, like Carol kind of always, you always think that she's going to do the right thing. When she like starts a conversation with Kat, you're like, okay, maybe she's doing better. She's like, and then she says things that, you know, turn things
hurtful.
Yeah.
That are hurtful.
Yeah. That's such good insight too, though, because I didn't even think of it like that. But now that you say it, it's like, yeah, she really doesn't. Is that her method of retracting
in an
issue or situation where she's uncomfortable? I don't know, but that is such a pattern with her.
Yeah.
So we move on to this, like, acting, what do we call it, mirroring class?
It's mirroring,
Meisner,
It's Meisner technique.
Okay, So, have you ever done that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it like?
It's like that, what you see.
Okay.
I mean, the process, the idea is to, like, get emotion out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sorry, to get out of your head and allow emotion to lead, to flow. So the more you do something, repetition will breed the emotion that you're trying to, you know, convey. So, I mean, it's fun. It's cool to do. You know what I mean? I've done the mirroring thing, which has always been fun to me because I'm a physical guy.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I don't know if you picked up on it, but they were doing the repeating lines back.
So
that I understood with, like, the fact of, like, I took a psychology course and a lot of the couples counseling stuff that we talked about will use that exact technique.
It's about, like, listening and then
active listening and reacting in a
like authentic way that makes like the emotion come through because you like wouldn't even realize like maybe you're angry or maybe you're frustrated and it comes through because you're like actively listening.
Yeah, and then what's cool about it is if you call it out specifically, so like you've been angry with me, I've been angry with you, so it just gets the conversation
going.
It's cool.
And I thought they did a good job until what did you think about how she stormed off? Like
It's Carol's in Kat's head. Like,
I think we're putting too much on Carol. I feel like Kat also has that. That's her problem, right?
Yeah.
She can't connect.
She can't connect. Yeah.
So, like, yeah.
I agree. I think because Kat now is grown. So, at some point, she has to kind of take, you know, what is it? Your trauma isn't your fault, but your healing is your responsibility.
I like that.
So, yeah, Kat. That's for you.
Get it together, girl.
Well, and maybe she like doesn't. She doesn't know how to heal. She doesn't know, like, you know.
None of us do, though. You got to figure that out.
I know.
Right.
Well, she's figuring it out.
But there's a lot of people there supporting her, though. That's the thing. You have Dasha. Yeah. You have Marcus. You have there's so many people that are there like wanting her to win. Even Justin. But like, Justin not, even wants her to win.
She's not letting them in.
That's the problem.
Yeah. She doesn't know how.
And I think that's why their relationship, Kat and Justin's, is so volatile, because his frustration is not being let in. You know what I mean? Is being abandoned, right? So his whole backstory was about somebody not showing up for him, whether it be his mom or whoever else. So when someone's not letting him in, that's another form of that abandonment.
Yeah.
But I think it's funny because I don't think Justin lets people in.
Right, which is...
So it's like he wants to be received, yeah. but then he doesn't do the same.
But don't you know how they say you hate someone who's most like you?
Right.
It's kind of like that same idea where it's like, you do the thing that I hate, but I do it
about
the same.
Myself.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think it has anything in terms of how Kat said it was, oh, you're mad because I didn't want to sleep with you again, or do you think it has anything to do with his ego? You know how she was talking about that?
110%.
Really?
No, I don't think it's all ego.
Well, I think
there's ego in there.
He said everybody that I've slept with wanted more.
I think that was him deflecting.
That's deflecting.
That's like his guys. He's like, well, I'm going to be like the player, and I'm going to be with all these women because that's his like coping mechanism because he lost his mom.
Yeah.
So like that's his way of like
he was
dealing.
Like inching towards like sensitive and trying to open up, and then he was like, never mind, forget.
Yeah. I mean, jerk is just his defense.
That's just like totally automatic position.
Corn mask.
So we see Kat go to Carol about this whole Mitch thing. And she just shuts it down.
Yeah.
But we see Carol go to her friend and, you know, did you get any dirt on it? Yeah. Blah, 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 whatever.
So gossipy, these women.
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh, my gosh.
So gossipy.
I love it.
It's like the Housewives of ice skating.
It's so true. Literally. It just reminds me of, like, dance. You dance,
dance
right?
Dance moms.
But you dance in your life, too, right? Like, I don't know if you had that experience. Like, the mom's watching through the glass. Like, if you ever did ballet. It's just the same thing. It's so funny that it's, like, it's so many similarities.
It totally translates, like,
like, the crazy moms.
So let's talk about this next scene with you and Kat where she asks you out. So what was this like? Tell me about it.
So basically in the scene, Kat finally says to Marcus, hey, you want to go to the Pinecrest Wild thing together and I can watch you ski? And Marcus is just like, hey. No.
He said, you play too much.
Like, he called her out. He said, you're gaslighting me. He still did it in a very Marcus way, right? Mm-hmm. It wasn't a fight. It was it was earnest. It was like, I feel like we might be better off if we don't try to play this game. And we all might have had that experience where it's like, you know what, we're better as friends. And if you teeter the line, oftentimes you end up not being friends. So why don't we just make the decision to remain friends? I think that's where Marcus is coming from, still wanting Kat.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it was a hard no for him to say, but it was one I think he had to say for himself.
Yeah.
Because he has to protect himself, too.
Because at the end of the day, Kat wasn't showing up for him.
Right.
So that's another piece of the same cat and mouse game we're playing here this episode.
Cat and mouse. Yeah, but it's also like... You gotta, like you said, protect yourself too, right? So you gotta take care of yourself in the process of falling in love or in like. So he had to do it.
I know we only have like 7 minutes left with you, but I do. I just want to jump because I want to get this like date out of the way.
Okay.
I want to talk about that with you. So this date. So we'll go back when he has to leave. But this date that like, how did it become a date? Like I know in the show, but like. I didn't even think it was.
Yeah, I think that was Jen's title, right? Jen labeled it a date.
Yeah.
Because even after Marcus came down from the ski hill and she's like, hey, I'm here. He's like, you are.
Yeah.
So it was something he wasn't expecting, something that she made happen. But she's not normally initiative, right? So we're not going to call it anything. We're just going to keep going with the flow, I think, was his mindset and hers. So it wasn't until Jen called it a date that we all realized that they weren't a date.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay, and then this, like, I want to call it a kiss. I wanted it to be a kiss so badly.
It was almost there. They never made it. In this,
so mad.
Yeah.
Were you guys freaking out or what? You didn't want it to happen so badly?
I mean, I kind of wanted it to happen, but I also wanted Marcus to be protected.
What?
I agree.
Because
I feel
Kat
like
has been so up and down, and I wanted it to.
She
hasn't, like, officially made her decision of, like, what she's doing. I don't know. I feel like she needed, like,
Did
Marcus
want to kiss her?
Absolutely.
I mean, Marcus did.
I thought it was very cute, thoughtful, and sweet that she showed up to the ski. I thought that was very, touching.
I feel like it was
he kind of said no. Yeah. And she did it anyway, and I thought that was cool.
And that shows effort and shows that, like, she cares for Marcus, but she has to put in the effort first before there's any type of...
Yeah, I do just think... one time.
What were you going to say? Oh, I was just going to say, like, I think it just shows we all have to remember, kind of, like, this is the same girl that was going to go to London, that wasn't going to go to London, exactly. That was going to go to London.
Exactly. And then
like,
she was skating, and not doing that. That's what I'm saying. Like, you got to, like, take your time, and, you know, especially someone going through a lot, like, you got to... protect yourself.
Yeah, no, but I think from Marcus's standpoint, I don't know if that was the best moment for him to have the kiss, but I felt like he kind of saw it as like the only opportunity to finally get it done. I mean, they shared they finally had some alone time. She finally opened up to some degree. Connected. She admitted that she had this, you know what I mean? She was talking about drowning and the how meaningful skating is to her. So they came together in a way. But yeah, I agree with you. I was like, I wasn't that mad that they didn't get the kiss because I'm like, I don't know if she deserved it.
It's like immediate, you know, thing. And it's like, you gotta...
But for Justin to break it up, it was kind of like, ah.
I think that was the stinger right there.
Yeah, yeah.
But I love the part where, like, you know, you're getting, or Marcus is getting that opportunity to kind of, like, be more professional with his skiing and getting that opportunity.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to say next is Marcus's character development in this particular episode is
we learn a lot about him.
Yeah, he kind of brushes off the opportunity to ski with the team, and I remember when I read it, I was like, oh, that was interesting. I wonder why. I didn't know. So for him to be like, oh, I just don't want to, it's just not an option for me,
right?
It was you do learn about, you know, what he's struggling with, which is deciding to ski or not.
True. So maybe he is like Kat.
I think they're all like Kat in a way, right?
I think they all have qualities of Kat, you know, when you're in that type of world and grown up, you know.
Yeah, and you just got a lot to juggle. And I think the biggest thing with each character is that each character had a lot of decisions to make for themselves. It was very ensemble-based in terms of how we saw everyone often, but it was very individualistic in a way because each character had its own separate storyline. So everyone was spinning out between the decisions they had to make.
That is so true.
Oh my God. That's the best comment ever.
I mean, I feel like we could just end it there.
We're good.
We're all spinning out.
We are. And we're on, you know, Earth that's going. No.
Too far. Yeah.
No, I thought you were going to say we're on thin ice.
Oh, we
that's
are
what
on
I thought
thin
you were
ice.
Say.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now you're on thin ice.
Oh, no. What did I do?
Well, thank you so much for being here. I know you have to dip out in a second, so I just want to say thank you again so much. We're so grateful that you came in.
Thank you guys for having me, seriously.
I know the listeners out there, I know you guys are loving it and fangirling and boying as much as we are in studio because, you know, it was just such a pleasure. So thank you so much. Is there anything, last-minute questions or anything you had for him or anything?
Are you working on anything that people can watch out for you?
Well, Spinning Out just dropped last week, so watch out for me there. Watch out for me there.
That's an ice skating show, right?
Yeah, that's that show, Netflix. But other than that, I'm working on music as well, so we'll have some stuff for that too.
Nice.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
That's cool. Yeah. Awesome. Sounds so good. So yeah, plug yourself again. Where can we find you?
@_MitchellEdwards on IG, and then Facebook and Twitter will be Mitchell Edwards. No Perfect. Underscore.
So awesome. Thank you so much.
All right, ladies.
Thank you,
you guys.
Yay. And he's out.
Yeah, why not?
We'll do a hug.
Oh,
so much.
Thank you. I know, it's just happened. We're going to take a few minutes.
It was so great to have you in studio, and I think we all learned a lot in that. In those, I feel like my eyes were opened in so many different ways.
His thoughts on set and working with the cast.
Great.
So good. Okay, guys, let's jump back in to where we kind of left off. I wanted to cover all the Marcus juice as we could. So where we left off as far as going through this episode was Kat going to, what was this? Did you guys think it was a support group? What did she go to?
Oh, yeah. I think it was.
I thought it was a therapist at first, and then there's another person.
Yeah.
And
giving her 2 cents.
Yeah.
And the therapist was like, this is not what I asked you for. Like, you're making the situation worse. Stop talking. But yeah, no, I think it was like a support group, but I don't know how she got there. Like, what was that connection? Like, who told her.
It was so random, right?
Yeah. They seem to already know, be familiar with her mother's name and, like, people in her life. So I feel guess like she goes all the time.
Yeah, I mean, it might be one of those, like, family support groups that, like, you go to weekly.
And I thought it was, like, a bipolar.
I did, too.
Yeah.
It's a support group.
Yeah. Mental health group. Yeah.
Yeah. So we see this conversation between Jen and Serena. Any thoughts there with the whole Jen kind of comforts Serena and says, you know.
I thought that was amazing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I really like Jen.
I know. Do love Jen. I mean,
can we get Jen?
Jen.
I love Jen. First of all, like, the fact that she, like, re-injured herself, like, that had me, like, on the edge of my seat. And because I know that sounded and looked very painful because, you know, she has that huge bruise on her hip. But I love that moment when she's, like, talking to Serena. She was, like, basically, we're all effing mad the fact that, like, you're doing amazing.
Yeah.
So just own it and just shut up.
Yeah.
I mean, and I was like, yes, yeah. Jen. Like, thank you for being honest and swallowing your pride a little bit to be like, yeah, you're actually doing really great.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you have to think, like, Jen has known Serena forever because she grew up with Kat. So they all have a backstory. They've seen each other grow, and they're in the same division, you know, and we learned that in earlier episodes. And so they're going to, like, have to compete against each other. And
true.
And it just feels like for Jen to kind of act as, like, a big sister to her in a way because, mm-hmm. you know, Kat's kind of missing the mark on that. I thought it was a nice moment where they, like, they had a little angst, a little anger and frustration towards each other, but then they brought it full circle and was like, hey, okay, we're okay. Totally. We're all in it together.
Lauren, I want to get your take on the whole grocery scene with Carol and the baby crying and the flashbacks. And what did you think?
I was so nervous she was going to hand that baby that pacifier.
Wait, you thought you were nervous?
Yes, I'm like, that dirty pacifier. Because
it was on the floor.
Oh, that's fine. Babies eat dirty pacifiers all the time.
What babies?
What babies you know? No, if anything...
Who's your baby?
Don't let me babysit.
I would be afraid for Carol to do that. But, yeah, I enjoyed the scene because I think it gave us a lot of context. Like, Carol's such an interesting character. Like, she might not be my favorite because she's, like, kind of mean. But right. I love the whole, like, her character arc is just my favorite on the show. Yeah. Like, well, she's very dynamic. Right. So I
she
love to see
up
that.
The music on the baby.
Yes.
On the baby. That had me weak. I was like, oh.
It was.
That had me weak.
It was.
Oh, my goodness.
It was kind of disturbing, and it kind of brought you into the mindset that Carol has battled mental health issues for a really long time.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that she did that back when she was skating, and then she had that flashback in the. Kind of like she had her moment of PTSD kind of in the grocery store.
Yeah. And then Mitch comes and then, like, unfolds this, like, love fest.
I know.
Do you want to walk me through this?
Oh,
I'm like,
I mean,
where?
Well, it was interesting that it started with Carol, like, not being able to afford the, I think it was, like, popcorn or chips or something.
Yeah,
it was like,
yeah.
So there was, like, another.
Oh, there was that, like, no-name brand cereal.
Yeah,
no-name
brand cereal or something. And so,
on the bottom shelf.
Yeah.
So it kind of, like, so there's not only, like, mental health issues, but there's, like, financial issues. Because, you know, she's, like, putting everything into Serena.
Which is hilarious, right? Because she puts the money in the coins, in the little donation box.
Yeah.
And was, like, told the cash register, like, doesn't it feel good to help people? And takes her groceries.
Yes! It was really, like, so she kind of had some.
So I used to, like, I'm about to lose my job trying to give you some groceries.
Yeah,
But the thing is, we've been seeing this. We've been seeing the chemistry between, you know, Mitch and Carol for, like, 3 episodes now. So for them to connect, and we know her history with men.
Right.
So true. It's just a matter of time.
But they kind of stop it, which is like, they have this, like, heated moment.
They do. But so I could give it to Carol that, like, she stopped it. She said, hey, this isn't going to go any further. Because she really should keep her daughter's, you know, Serena and Kat's best interest at heart. But she isn't always the best at doing that, so I'm not surprised.
Right. It's hard to really, like, keep the trust in Carol that, like, she's going to do the right thing.
Yeah.
So true. Another thing about Jen that I wanted to talk about was, do you think there's more to this, her asking Justin for pills?
Yes, she likes Justin.
She likes Justin.
She said she wanted to bang him episode one.
In the first 10 minutes of the episode.
Okay. But I didn't take that as like she wants him. I took that as
she wants him.
What?
Yeah. She said.
What do you think, Lauren?
I think she does want him. Yeah. I think she likes him.
I am on a totally different wavelength. Yeah.
No, she said. She's like, I wish he would wisen up and bang me. That's literally.
She said it straight out.
Yes.
And so I think the pills are just like her way of saying
like getting in there.
Thanks, Ryan.
Right.
Is that like for Jen to say, hey, you know, I want some pills? Like, it's kind of Jen's way of connecting to Justin because he's obviously not looking her direction.
Yeah, it's icebreaker.
Okay, wow.
It's a whole other level.
So now we move on to the fundraiser, which we talked about the Marcus stuff. Mm-hmm. So Justin and Mandy,
I love this scene
situation. Take it away.
I love this scene. First of all, she almost hits him with the cowbell, which I was I was like, he almost low key deserved to hit him a little bit.
It's pretty fun to throw cowbells in the snow.
And he kind of like checks her a little bit and is kind of like, you know, why are you even doing this? Like, this was my mom's thing.
Yeah.
And she was like, I'm not here because of that. Like, I'm here because I love your dad. Like, so don't give
me. I'm not replacing your mom.
Right.
Yeah.
And she was like, I have to put up with you, but Kat doesn't, and I can't believe you just cut it off with her.
Yeah.
So get your ish together.
Yeah.
Because this is not how it should be going down. Yeah. And she was like, the walk away, the line, right, was like, you're not a dick, but you sure really good at acting like one. And that was
And I really did. I love this scene too, because you have this, like, this kind of typical, like, stepmom, dad, you know, sons. And so you have, you know, the stepmom is always, like, a really tough character to be.
Yeah.
Because totally. You have the past memories of the mom, and then you're in this new role. And so, you know, so Mandy plays it so well because she's compassionate, but she's tough. And I like that about her, that she can really keep it honest with Justin and say, hey, like, I'm not replacing your mom. I love your dad. Like, I truly do. So, you know, I'm here to make you a success and, like, make you happy and, you know,
get it together.
Just get it together. And, like, don't disrespect women like this.
Yeah. Did anybody at first when Mandy comes and throws the cowbell and that whole thing, did anybody think, because I know I did, I was like, is this going to be a she's actually evil type of moment and we're going to find that out?
That
would
have been good.
Did you guys think that? Or?
I didn't think that.
No?
Because because while I was watching it, she kind of like spoke right away. So I didn't think that. Yeah. But that's a really good point, because I mean, that is evil to throw a cowbell at someone. I mean, that thing could hurt you, break a bone or something.
I thought she was so nice. Holy crap, she's this, like, evil stepmom.
Right. I could see
that. Yeah, I mean, I didn't think that right away because she was defending Kat in earlier episodes and fighting for her. So I knew that she had a side to her that was compassionate.
Sometimes
and forgiving.
It's a ploy.
Right, it could have been that dynamic between the sons, you know? Like, maybe I'm standing up for Kat, but, like, really behind the scenes, I want to slap, you know, the crap out of my stepkids.
And I'm curious to know, I can't wait to find out why she sees herself in Kat. Like, what's the connection there? Because she keeps saying that. Like, I see myself
good
in Kat.
Point.
Like,
how?
Where's the connection?
Right.
Let us know what you guys think in the comments below. I'd love to get your take on, did you think she was going to be evil, Mandy? Or, you know, really any of this character development that has been going on in this episode four. Because there is a lot of it.
A lot of it.
So let us know what you guys think. Also, so we move on, you know, and in that scene, I just think there was a lot of tough love is, like, what I took from that, too, is what you were saying, Ebony. Yeah. So the dad hasn't seen the light in – Justin's dad hasn't seen the light in his eyes.
Since the mom died.
But now he does with Kat.
Yeah.
So that was really important, I feel like.
It was. I think that was a good point. Because it takes when you have trauma – right? Mm-hmm. And then you see, especially like, I feel like when you have kids, I don't have kids, but I feel like if you do, you know, you have a sensitivity to your children.
Yeah.
And so I think this whole time we've been seeing dad as like strict businessman, like development, blah, like I want to win the gold medal, right? And then this is like that one speck of like light that you get to see a little bit of compassion from the dad towards his son. And I was like, okay, he does care. Okay.
Yeah.
He loves him.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was so symbolic that Justin saw, you know, or had the light in his eyes again because, you know, he continued to ice skate even after his mom died. And he finally, like, found Kat, and Kat, like, helped bring that out in him. And so Kat is also trying to find her light and trying to figure out, like, her path, you know, in the world. And so the fact that they're connecting again, I think Justin finally connected. And since this whole episode is about connection, we just have to find that other half. And so Kat is trying to find that.
Very well said.
Yeah. I'm still excited to see more, I guess, of this whole relationship because it's, I don't know, hopefully they're going to develop it, but I'm like, other than, like, they had that intimate sex scene, what's the connection that that he, you know, she puts so much light in his eyes.
Right.
So I'm excited to see what it is that he thinks is so special about her.
Yeah, that's so true. Serena and Kat have this conversation in Serena's bed. Obviously, Kat probably snuck over or whatever. There's no way Carol knew that she was there. But it was really nice to see them connect on that level for a second. And also, Serena bring light to Kat's eyes about this is not an issue with you. You're just having boy drama.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You know? I felt like this was a moment where they could finally, like, be sisters, like, like it was felt like, okay, they're kind of connecting in a way, you know, hanging out, like they can actually talk again.
I think their relationship is weird.
It's very complicated.
Because it's like, in one scene, it's like Serena's like very sweet to her and like they kind of have this like sisterly relationship. And then in the next scene, she's kind of like, move out of my way. Like, what are you even talking about? Oh my God, you're so annoying. And I get it. That maybe that's like a little sister thing where you're like, oh my God, my big sis is like trying to be too protective. I'm over it. Maybe that is a thing. But I mean, I feel like it's catty. It's not like loving. It's her. Serena's response to Kat is catty, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's me.
Well, their mother is like pin them against each other to compete against each other. So I think that plays a big role in it. But while they've been taught to compete, they also have, you know, to deal with their mother
together.
So I think it's like a weird balance.
And so it's weird. It's like it's not loving sisterly, but it's not hateful. I hate you either. It's like a loving.
And it's not a traditional dynamic either, because sometimes Kat has had to be the parent and take care of Serena.
That's a good point.
So that's a whole other thing where that isn't always successful. That doesn't always work. And so that adds a whole other element of complication.
Do we know the age gap between them? Did I miss that?
So 16 and like, what, 21? 21.
Yeah.
16 or 15?
I think 15.
15,
16.
Okay. Yeah. I was just curious.
Yeah. So that's a big enough gap where, you know, you're in different parts of points in your life.
Yeah. Right. That's true.
Yeah, that is definitely true. So we have this really hard to watch scene with Jen and her parents. That was so difficult. And I just hate when people do this. And I don't really know if it happens in real life. Tell me if this happens in real life. When you go say, oh, I got something to tell you. And they're like, oh, yeah, wait, let me tell you exactly the opposite of what you were going to tell me first.
Maybe.
No.
I mean, it's definitely a dramatic element in writing where you're like, well, we're going to do one thing, but this isn't going to happen first. And then it throws the other character completely off the track that they were going to do.
Yeah.
I felt really bad.
I felt awful.
You know, I like Jen. So I felt really, bless you, I feel really bad for Jen because here she goes. She finally has the courage to be like, I'm not going to, I don't want to do this skating thing anymore. And I'm severely injured, mind you, right? And then her parents are like, but we bought you the best coach ever. Isn't this great news? And she's like, like crying inside. Like, no, this is amazing news, but like terrible news at the same time.
Well, and there's so much pressure because she's been doing it since she was a little girl. And like, they have a business. The parents have been working hard. And it's sad that like, she couldn't be upfront with them in the moment. Because she could have just been open with them right there, you know, and she's it's a cultural thing.
But also think about it, letting your parents down. Wouldn't you just want to do anything and everything to make your parents proud? I know, I just feel like I would walk with bloody feet if my mom wanted me to walk the runway.
Yeah, but like, the fact that like the doctors are telling her that she might not be able to walk again if she keeps doing it. Like, she's putting her life on the line.
Yeah.
And I know many of us would put our life on the line for our parents, but like,
in that way, no. But
in that way, like,
but yeah, and I mean, it just goes to show what she grew up doing. This sport is so intense.
Yeah.
And doing such an intense sport from such a young age, you get that mentality of, oh no, you suck it up.
But on top of that too, again, like also with like the major injuries, right? So you've been doing it since you were two. You're going to get major injuries. Just like football players, like, a lot of, like, I have a friend that played football in high school and, like, quit after he went to college for, like, a year or two because he was like, my knees, my back, everything was hurting. And he was like, you know, we were like 18. You know what I'm saying? So it's like you have that, like, pressure on your body so much that you're, like, bound to get injured at some point.
I personally have that. I played soccer my first year of college and I got up to 7 concussions, broke my nose, had 2 surgeries. Like,
oh my gosh.
I went through the ringer. So I was like, after my second, my first year, I'm like, you know what? I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, right. It's intense.
So it is.
And I also feel like when we heard Kat talking, I was about to say, what? Mitch, Marcus. When I was talking to Marcus about how, like, she doesn't even love skating as much as just, like, breathing to her, it's probably similar for Jen because they've been doing it since they were kids. So it's
like, you don't know anything else. What else are you going to do?
Yeah, like, that's your identity.
You're going to, like, start getting a job at the grocery store? Like, you know, like, what are you going to do?
And that's what, like, I feel like that's what a lot of athletes struggle with because they didn't necessarily go to college. They didn't necessarily, like, go through all that. And
now you lose your identity.
Yeah.
Who am I?
You're always an ice skater. Yeah.
Totally.
That is so true. So we have this text from Justin. Now he wants to meet up with Kat. What did you guys think about that? Were you expecting it? Were you shocked?
I thought it was cute.
I knew he
would. I was kind of wondering, like, what's going to happen now?
I thought he was, like, opening up a little. Like, being like, we need to talk. I felt like, you know, they had this tension. Because he had broken it off with the skating partners. And I think, for me, I was like, oh, good, he's coming back.
He's trying to defuse the situation a little bit.
I liked the please. The other, that he sent the text like, meet me here. Bring your skates. Please.
Right.
I was like, cute. That's really cute.
You
need to grovel, Justin.
A little bit.
Humble yourself.
Yeah. Well, and I liked it. It was a little bit opposite from his normal gameplay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Not only that, then he, like, takes her to this, like, beautiful, like, frozen lake area of light.
So romantic.
So romantic.
Yeah. And he opened up about his mom and that, like, this was the place that they would be together, you know. And it's just really sweet. And you saw a side of Justin that I think was really, like, a nice character development.
Is he the panel's new heartthrob?
No.
Oh, damn. Even though he had to leave, I am still Team Marcus.
You know I'm Team Marcus, we're but, like, Marcus. Still, yeah. Dang, that was a hard no. Okay. Sorry, Justin. Sheesh.
Poor Justin.
Justin, come on the show, then we'll think about it.
Yeah.
So, this whole Carol and Mitch, like, what is going on? They're making out, and then all of a sudden she says, no, I have to think about my girls. First of all, you just kicked one of your daughters out.
Right.
You don't even talk to her, like, stop trying to act like mom of the year.
Right.
Right?
Right. But I thought it was, like, I wasn't expecting it to go that far, if I'm being honest. Like, they're at the bar, they're drinking, whatever, they're having a good time.
Oh.
And then it just, like, spiraled out of control. Like, it just continued to, like,
they were spinning out.
Spinning out of control.
Right?
See, I totally saw it coming. I knew that. I'm glad it stopped.
He seems so firm that for me, I was like, he's not gonna allow this to be more than.
Well, they were drinking. They had, you know, their inhibitions were down.
Did nobody think that there really could have been something between him and Serena?
I'm still not
sure.
I know, me either.
Yeah.
No comment.
It's just weird because she's like taking selfies with him and posting.
Yeah,
it. Like, that's
a lot.
Slapped
her butt.
Yeah.
Right. That too. But, I mean, I feel like basketball guys slap each other's butts all the time. Like, maybe that's, like, not that big of a deal.
When you're a 30-something-year-old man.
And a 15-year-old girl, no.
No, totally. I get it.
Yeah.
I'm just playing the devil's advocate over here. Just saying.
I think I think we just need to watch.
We need to watch. It's true.
Watch
so
the
let's
episode.
Go to our special segment. Why don't we, Emily?
Awesome. So our special segment is skating on thin ice. So we want to know what character you feel in this episode really wasn't the best, didn't do the right things, that you weren't happy with, all of that. I'm going to say my character that I was not happy with is probably, I'm going to say Jen.
Okay.
And the reason why I say Jen is because she's not taking care of herself, and that is going to get, I think, get her in trouble, and her and Serena were kind of not getting along, and I want her to be better.
Yeah.
What? So, and thoughts?
I'm going to say Carol, because she's risking her girls, meaning Serena, her whole career.
the one that she owns.
The one that she plays. Her whole career in this whole situation, she has this good coach, she has this team, and I get it. You might think Mitch is attractive, but this is a big risk for everything you've worked for and your daughter has worked for.
Yeah, totally.
Abinay?
Oh, okay. I am going to have to agree with Carol being my person that I am skating on thin ice with. Like, she's just... Besides the fact that, like, we know she has the disorder, right? It's just, like, her actions. Like, I really want her to, like, be a good mom, and I want her to, like, bring it around town. But it's just, like, I don't know. I feel, like, hopeless for her character. So I just feel like, yeah, she's getting off that ice for me.
Well, I'm going to say Kat because she didn't kiss Marcus. So.
Oh! There we go. Wow. There it is.
So those are all really great. So let us know in the comments and online who you think is skating on thin ice.
Yes, and thank you guys so much for joining us. We're going to wrap it on up. Thank you so much. Where can we find you, Ebony?
Hey, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter. I changed it so they match. Ebony Chapman 12.
Awesome, and you can find me on all social media platforms at Emily Mayheller.
Hey, you can find me on Instagram at Lauren Out Loud and on YouTube, Lauren Mayo.
And you can find me on Instagram at Mackenzie Fain. Thank you so much, you guys, for joining us. We'll be back for episode 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10 of Spinning Out. Have a good week.
Bye. Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only. Do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals. AfterBuzz TV.